I work with approximately 25 parishes in the city, all over the city, all parts of the city. And my colleague Coleman Millian works with about 25 additional parishes. So I have the benefit that I get to see lots of different parishes and how they operate, right? Lots of different congregations. And there is really rare that there's a Bible study with this many people at it. So amen to that. Congratulations. And I'm really excited about the fact that you all are talking about going into the neighborhood and spreading the news. There's a lot of congregations that talk about doing that but don't actually do it. And a lot of places where they never actually get to the conversation about spreading the good news, right? And so you all should feel very good about the fact that you're taking this step. So I congratulate yourselves. A little round of applause. Okay. And I also want to thank Deacon Butler. He did an excellent job. I think we can go home now without my speech. How many of you, raise your hand if you are going to be going out and knocking on doors? Congratulations. Here's my question. Is there anyone here who's a little bit nervous about that? Okay. Has anyone ever ducked when they saw someone about to knock on their door? Why is that? Why is that? I mean, I am too. That's why I got my duck down. And one of the best things, I've knocked on a lot of doors. One of the best things to do when you knock is make sure you keep an eye on those blinds. And if they move a little bit, right, then go, then wave and smile, right? Because there's going to be people ducking. But seriously, why do people duck? And why do you duck? I mean, what are people expecting when you knock on their door? What, sell something, right? Any other things that people are expecting? Huh?
Police.
The police.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times you gotta realize today's situation as mm-hmm. far as people knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People are not gonna open the door not thinking that you coming up there for evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of it
mm-hmm.
because of the situation today.
Yeah, so
that's why a lot of people don't answer their doors.
So so just to repeat in case everyone didn't hear that, you know, there is people, a lot of people are afraid to open the door these days, you know, just because of crime and, you know, other, you know, they're afraid. So they're afraid that they're either going to be selling something, they're going to be there to do you harm, or they might try and just talk at you about something rather than listen to you, right? That's why when I duck, you know, that's what I'm afraid of, right? So the goal when you go out, most of these conversations on the door are not going to be more than 3 minutes when someone opens up the door. And so you have to be real clear about what you can expect in a three-minute conversation, right? It's going to be rare that we're going to have conversions at the doorstep, right? So don't feel bad if that doesn't happen when on your day of knocking on doors. That is not, right? It's more, it's going to be more of a process where there's a couple ways. Maybe the door opens a little bit in somebody's mind. Or maybe it's sort of like, have you ever had a jar that you just can't get open and, you know, you go at it and go at it and then all of a sudden it opens? So most of these interactions are going to be in that first phase, you know, and that's okay. And so if you're anxious because you don't want to sell anyone anything, that's good because that's not your goal in this conversation. So I'm going to go through a few principles that you might want to keep in mind when you're knocking on doors. And they relate exactly to the gospel that we just heard. Number one is you cannot agitate outside of a relationship. Okay? you can't, we may, we're going out to change minds and hearts, right? That's the goal. That's clear. But there's ways to change hearts and minds, and then there's ways to get the door slammed in your face, right? So, for instance, there's, everyone has things that they know they need to change about themselves, right? Me, my car is messy. Anyone who's walked to my car and helped me put stuff in the car after a meeting here knows that my car is probably a little messy, right? Mr. Miner has helped me carry stuff to the car, right? Okay. So if my fiance agitates me about that and says, you know, you really gotta work on this, I'm gonna listen. Because I know he has my best interests at heart. If somebody pulls up beside me in traffic and looks and says, you need to clean your car, I'm not listening. Right? You can't agitate outside of a relationship. So this first interaction with people is to try and get a relationship, right? That's why in the gospel, the conversation at the beginning was about fishing, right? He had a goal in mind. Jesus had a goal in mind. It wasn't, he wasn't hiding his goal, but he wasn't coming at and saying, I'm here to change your heart and mind right now. He's like, let's talk about the nets. Let's talk about fishing. What's going on with you, okay? Has anyone had an experience that they want to share about someone knocking on their door and irritating or agitating without a relationship? Here.
And so I went back to the kitchen and I said, Daddy, there's a lady at the door and she says she wants to talk to you. And so my dad said, he did just like this. He was sitting at the kitchen table and he looked down the hall to see who was at the door. And he slowly stood up and he walked down the hall toward the front door. And I was watching him and he got to the front door and he said, slam the door in her face. And from that day on, I have said, ooh, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah, but you know what? You can just brush it off, move on to the next, right? That's the last one here. Right, so we got to be careful. We are going to accomplish something. If we have a conversation, a door slammed in your face, move on. Brush it off, move on. But if we have a conversation and somebody ends that conversation and they shut the door and they say, that wasn't at all what I expected. Right?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, to me, what happens, when I've had folks come and try to engage me in a religious topic, what bothers me most is that they seem to be out to win an argument with me. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just to answer your question.
Absolutely.
That's what I experienced.
Absolutely. Any other experiences? The other thing that happens, You're missing.
I was a theology major undergrad, and when usually someone comes to my door from another faith and they try to evangelize me, I usually try to, if I can't avoid them in a polite way, I usually try to pull out stuff that I learned in college. And then I always feel guilty because I remember all the stuff that I should have said after they've gone. So, and it even happened, I was buying a birthday gift for maybe it was Monsignor, and somebody came up to me and evangelized me in the store, and I got you know, it didn't go well because I
didn't. Right. And so someone was making an assumption about him, right? He's in the middle of buying a gift, did you say, for Monsignor, right? So you, right? And somebody came up and didn't even bother to figure out whether he already had a church home or whether he already had, you know, a faith, right? So the two mistakes people make is that they try and sell something, or they never stop to listen to somebody to know anything about them. You know, some people are like, who do you, you don't even know me. So why are you trying to, how do I know you have my best interest at heart when you don't even know me, right? So that's, you can't agitate outside of a relationship. So don't worry, you don't have to, right? The best thing to do in evangelism is show, don't tell, or show, don't sell, right? Your job is not to feel like you have to memorize every talking point about how great this congregation is, right? You know, and if you forget one, then, you know, you made a big mistake. Your goal really is to show them what the church is like and how you relate to people, right? So it's, you know, so when they shut that door after the conversation, they say, you know what? People over at Holy Comforter St. Cyprian are really nice, or really great, or that, you know, really interesting. They asked me about me. That was a total surprise. You know, I didn't know that someone would knock on my door and ask me about me. Or, you know, when the person who next door, their next door neighbor who ducked you, you know, who maybe hid, you know, even though you saw them in there, you heard the television, they come out later and they're watering their grass and they say, hey, did you talk to the people? What were they knocking on doors about? Oh, they're from the church down the street. They're really nice. It was a really great conversation, right? You're going to be opening the jar a little bit, opening the door a little bit. The other thing to remember, and we've kind of already talked about, relationships take time, right? So it's the congregations that practice this on a regular basis, you know, being relational, engaging people as they walk down the street, talking with their neighbors on a regular basis, that where people start coming more and more. And you're not going to get to everyone, and I think the story over here illustrated that. You're not going to get to everyone, but you're going to get to some. Right? So if you go out and there's, I hear that there's about 40, 45 people signed up to walk, hopefully now that they know that they don't have to, and there's not as much pressure now when you go out. Maybe more people will sign up. So let's say that 50 people go out on a two-hour walk. Our experience is that you will talk to 500 people. Right. That's almost as many, I looked in the bulletin, as a mass attendance you know, a couple Sundays ago. So in one afternoon, you will have a conversation with that many people. Not everyone's going to come. Not everyone's going to come the first time they interact with somebody. But somebody's going to come. And they might not come to church right away. They might come to the blessing of the animals. They might come to the choir concert. You know, and that's another opportunity to show what Holy Comforter St. Cyprian is. Any reactions to that? So the best way to relate, and you saw this in the relationship around fishing, you know, the conversation around fishing, is around people's self-interest. And a lot of this is common sense, but I'm just going to lay out some common sense, you know, that you already have in a new way. Every single person, when you knock on their door, they are going to have self-interest. And so do you. Not selfishness. Basic human needs. And they usually come in two categories, so be attuned to that when you're talking to people. Because your goal in getting a relationship is figuring out, who is this person behind the door? What is their self-interest? Is it fishing? Maybe not. You know, what is it? People have basic self-preservation needs, right? And we fed some of those before we got to the Bible study, right? It was right over here. So food, shelter, safety, human needs. water. And so be attuned to those when you're on the door. So if you walk up to someone's door and knock on their door, and there is an abandoned building next door that looks like people come in and out of it all the time, what basic human need might you have identified right there for that person? Safety. You may want to engage them on that, right? So be aware if it's dark. Right, when this parish did door knocking on every door in Potomac Gardens and Hopkins Public Housing. And when you walk up and you have to shoo the drug dealers out of the way to get up to someone's door, and it's pitch black right, on your way up, it's pretty quick that you can have a conversation around this basic self-preservation, right? How do we get some lighting here? We'll work with you on that. We'll stand with you as a parish on that. So it's just being real present in the moment. The other needs that people have, and this takes a little bit longer to figure out generally, is self-recognition needs. This is the basic human need to create, to grow, to have some agency. You know, when you act on the world that it reacts. To develop yourself, to have meaning, to have relationships. Those are really, that's another human need that everybody has. And this is usually what motivates somebody in a deep way. It's not always as obvious. You know, you can kind of tell if someone's starving sometimes. It takes more questions probing to get at this. But if you can tap into this, you can keep people in a congregation for generations. So stopping there, think about your own self-interest as it relates to this parish. Write down, you know, three things that this congregation gives you in terms of feeding your own self-interest. And it's okay to say, I got a good hot dog here today. You know, that's one of the things, right? But, you know, I'm guessing most of it's going to be around this. So take a few moments and then let's share a few of those. Mm-hmm. Well, what would you like to say about agency?
Well, I think what I picked up is that your capacity to interact and get a response and to be able to act in order to experience, healthy reaction. In other words, your capacity to get things done by mm-hmm. engaging other people.
That, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure that...
Yeah. That you're not somebody who just walks through the world invisible. You know, that if you do a good job, you're going to get recognized for it. And if you put your effort into something, you can get something done. You have something to show for it. You know, that's what agency is, something that a lot of people get out of their jobs. You know, when they see, I put my effort into something, I got something really great out of it. You know, I built that building. I healed that child. So as it relates to this parish,
Well, my parish gives me love, gives me spirituality, and a relationship with brother and sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to say it again, so everyone?
Oh, I said that my parish gives me love, spirituality, brotherhood, and sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. And that feeds a self-interest. Who else?
My parish gives me common ideals, mm-hmm. common thought, mm-hmm. Safety, mm-hmm. because when I'm amongst the people who care about me, I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
That moves into the total community of what my parish mm-hmm. is about. It mm-hmm. feeds all of my senses mm-hmm. and who I am as a human being and a child of God.
And it's great to be a part of something, right? I mean, that's another that I didn't explicitly put, but it's great to be a part of something that's great, right? So when you knock on people's doors, people are going to have these needs. Everyone does. It's good to do some reflection before you go out about why is this the kind of place that feeds you, and be able to articulate that. Because, you know, people, you don't want to hide the ball. You don't want to pretend like you're there knocking on their door about something totally different. Like, I'm here to paint your house, when really you're trying to get them, you know, right? So you got to be real with people about, you know, where you're coming from. And it's usually when you speak about your own self-interest that's the way to talk about, get people attracted to your congregation is, here's what it gives me. You know, for you it might be something different, but here's what it gives me. So if you're not going, you got 3 minutes to figure out what is that person's self-interest. 3 minutes, and you can't irritate, right? You can't aggravate, right? What are some questions that you might ask to start off the conversation if you're trying to figure out who is this person that I'm talking to? Because that's the agenda of these meetings. It's not first the parish. Is the agenda. First is that person. Who is this person? They're the agenda of the meeting. Right? So what would you ask?
How are you?
Absolutely. It'd be really strange to come up to someone and not ask that. Right? How are you? What else might you ask? How long have you been in the neighborhood? And either you've already looked in your packet or everything I said. Yeah, how long have you lived in the neighborhood, right? That's a real here and now question that will open up a conversation. Any other question?
Yes, I would ask them, what is their story?
Yeah, what's your story? Yep. And you might want to warm up to it a little bit, right? You might want to warm up to it a little bit. So there's a little, there's a reaction. Do they have a church family? Yep.
How has your day been so far today?
Yeah. Right. All of these are good questions. You had one? Hold on 1 second.
When you walk into somebody's office, the first thing you want to do is look at their pictures or their trophies, things that mean something to them.
Right.
Okay, that's also Carnegie Mellon's courses. Uh-huh. But the other thing is, we have a lot of our neighbors who are proud of their yards. And if I'm walking up to your door and I see that you've spent hours, something I just don't ever do, but I've seen that you spend hours dealing with that, that's an opening line for me.
Absolutely. And it's recognizing their hard work, right? And you can tell what people's self-interests are based on where they spend their time and where they spend their money. Right? So if it's clear that someone spent some time on something, you probably want to ask them about it. If they've got a picture, if they let you into their house or you can see over their shoulder, they got a picture right in the center of their mantle, you probably want to ask, who's that? Right? If there's anything related to children around, people's self-interests are really connected to their children and their grandchildren. Right? And that's common sense, but you know, part of it is just being real present when you walk up. So if you see a swing set in the yard, you might want to ask about their children or their grandchildren. Where do they go to school? You know, what are they good at? Are you happy with their school, or are you a little worried about their school?
I would also ask if they have the time at that very moment to chat for 3 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. You know, that's.
Yeah, it shows them respect, right?
Right.
They may be right in the middle of something. But don't let that, a good 80% of the people are going to say, I don't have time right now. Right? So don't let that slow you up. You can say, okay, I'll give you the short version, and then just do what you were going to do anyway. The longer you can stay in a conversation, the better. Yes, one more, and then.
Yeah. Keep in mind that our neighbors have a lot of animals. Mm-hmm. So if you're an animal lover, it's good to know.
Right.
First of all, do they bite?
Very good. Self-preservation right there. Right. And so if you get to the point where you're getting a sense of who this person is, you know, hopefully they're telling a story. You know, where have you lived here long is a really good opening if you don't see any of the other things, you know, if you don't see the swing set or the garden or if you're nervous. Because either they have or they haven't. And if they haven't lived there long, then there's something that pushed them to come here or pulled them to come here, and there's a story there. You know, so where were you before? Why'd you leave Oklahoma? Why'd you come to D.C.? Why D.C.? Or if they've lived there forever, they've probably seen a lot happen in the neighborhood, and there's probably a story you can get them to tell about that, right? How's the neighborhood changed as time gone on? And that, you're having this conversation to figure out what the self-interest is. One more around how to open it up. You guys got this, I think. This is not going to be...
There's one thing before you say anything is eye contact.
Absolutely.
I've had people come to the door either for a campaign or to sell me something, and, you know, they're looking at the ground, and, oh, you know, it's only 1995, and I'm like, what? If you look at them and focus, it shows you're interested.
Absolutely.
Then you'll want to talk. But before you do anything, eye contact for me.
Eye contact and a smile. Right? And that shows that the agenda is them. It's not whatever your script is. You know? So get comfortable enough with the present moment and the script that you're not doing this. Right? One more.
Are you a Redskin fan? That really is a good one. Because if you live in a district, at one time or another, you had to be a Redskin fan.
So half the people are like, I'm going to slam the door. Right. Especially if someone has the gear on, right? If they have the gear on, have that conversation, right? It's to open the door. So you guys got the door open, right, with these conversations. The key thing is, it's important if you, it shouldn't just stay on the surface if you can, okay? And this is going to take experience. The beautiful thing about door knocking is, like, if you mess up on one door, there's always another door, right? So you're going to be okay. And it'll take some experimenting and just seeing how you feel comfortable. But listen for opportunities to agitate. Not irritate, right? Agitate. Meaning, if they mention something around, you know, their children, you might want to have a conversation about what is it like to raise kids in the city these days, you know? And then that might be a conversation about how it's much easier to raise children if you have a church home that supports you in that, right? Or, you know, how do you see them getting values? You know, do you want help with that? You know, and the church could be a part of that. If they're really into their animals, and hopefully they won't bite, you know, you might want to in the thing that you would invite them to is the blessing of the animals if that's around the corner, right? So, you know, as long as they don't bite, because we don't want. Could you imagine it at the blessing of the animals if we had a real tough dog? You know, if they're really concerned about a problem in the neighborhood, the Washington Interfaith Network work that you all are doing through the parish could be a vehicle to address that. And so maybe the way that they first come into the church door is not on Sunday, but maybe it's at a WIN meeting. And, you know, they see that people really care about the fact that the abandoned house next to them is an eyesore and a safety hazard, and you're standing with them. Right? So look for those opportunities to agitate. I think Deacon Butler talked about that. You know, so it started with, you know, let's talk about what it's like to be in the Air Force, or let's talk about the Redskins, right? But it didn't just stay on that. And it went to, you know, problems he was having in his life and how he wanted some more meaning and direction in his life and some healing. So once you got it warmed up, you know, be ready to ask some why questions. You know, why'd you come here? You know, the kind of what are you looking for questions. If you feel like the door is open enough, right? You don't want to irritate. You don't want to get in someone's business if they haven't invited you in, right? And the way to get invited in is showing that you actually care about, you're curious about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so once you're warmed up, we're praying for everyone in the neighborhood. Yeah. Is there anything in particular that you would like us to add in your name, to the prayers? Right? Yeah, especially once you're warmed up, right? Because partly we want to make sure that we warm people up so that they don't, doesn't feel right up front like the bad experiences that they have had before where someone's preaching at them rather than listening to them. Okay? So let's try this. Is anyone willing to be a brave soul and come up and try it? Try and knock on my door? So do you wanna knock on my door? And how about you, Ms. Miller? I told you I would pick on you too. Huh. And you can look at, there is a script in the folder, if you want to own up on it, but feel free not to. Okay? And her agenda is me. That's the agenda of the meeting. She's smiling at me. I got to open the door.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good.
My name is Felicia, and I'm at the parish, Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian on East Capitol Street. Have you heard of them, of us here?
I walked by before, but I never knew the name of the church.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Holy Comfort. It's a Catholic church.
Uh-huh.
Are you Catholic?
No. Oh, okay. Right, I didn't grow up in the church. Yeah.
So how long have you been in the neighborhood?
I moved to the neighborhood in around 2002.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You've been here quite a while.
Yeah, a little while.
So
yeah.
How do you like the neighborhood?
Good. It feels like home, It feels like home to me now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, do you have a church home?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Oh. Yeah. Holy Comfort has a lot of activities there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to come on Sunday, but there are other activities. We have choir, concerts.
I'm not a good singer.
You don't have to be a good singer, but you can come and listen to our choir. If you like good gospel music.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do like music. Yeah.
And other than gospel music, we have other programs. We have there's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I have a brochure of the different activities in the church. Can I give you that?
Sure. Thanks.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Hope to see you there one day.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Good. So brave soul. Good. So what was good about that? Huh? Yeah, she didn't press. Yeah, she was very pleasant, smiled, upbeat, right? Huh? And short. Yeah. Not stature, but she kept it moving. Yeah. Yeah, anyone? So. Uh-huh.
There were various keys that you eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
She picked up on them and she tried to make a positive intercourse or conversation with them.
Mm-hmm. What other questions could she have asked me?
Where are you from?
Where am I from? And I was trying to lead into that, right? Where are you from? Where'd you come from? Why'd you come here? In order to keep on, me for a little bit longer. Yeah. And I said it feels like home to me.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, Yeah. Where is home? Why is it feeling more like home now versus when you first got here? Yeah.
Not having a church home or being brought up in a church, perhaps we could find out what would you be looking for in a church? What would you be looking for in a church home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And for a lot of people, it's never occurred to them. For a lot of people that you're knocking on the door, it's never occurred to them to walk into a church, right? So, you know, if it having a conversation about, you know, what would you, I mean, you know, what would you be interested in, you know, in terms of a church? Like, what would a church look like that you would be interested in?
We have that.
Yeah, right, well, but maybe you don't.
Maybe we don't.
And that's fine, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because part of building a relationship, really, part of building a relationship is being willing to shape your congregation based on what you're hearing in the neighborhood. Right? So if you hear 10 people say, I'd really like X, I don't know what it is, and it fits with the mission of the church, that's part of what you're trying to do here. Right? So, you know, people have mixed reaction to him, but Rick Warren, that's how he built this church. He went out and asked people, so why don't you come to church? I'm just curious. You know, I'm not trying to get you there today, but I'm just curious, why don't you come to church? And some people said, you know, I don't want to dress up, and, you know, certain times of worship, you know, don't meet with me. So he built a church around what he heard on the doors. You know, so... You know, and I think it's asking in a very non-judgmental way that first conversation. Just curious. You know, we're out here. We're just curious. What would people in the neighborhood be looking for in a church? How about you? I mean, just curious. All right. Anyone else who wants to go again?
I just have a question. Uh-huh. So I know you said that 3 minutes is the average time. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to be a people person, and my wife would tell you, total strangers will tell me their life story.
Okay, you're going to be very successful.
Everything. I mean, what's a good way to transition, close out the conversation so that I can, you know, get away? I know we have 500 people that we want to see. I don't want to spend a whole 40 minutes at one house.
Well, I think first you say, this has been a really great conversation, and I really enjoyed our time. But, you know, as you can see, the other people were walking. I got to catch up. But I think just acknowledging this has been a really great conversation. You know, I hope to see you at the church sometime. You know, and you know, you probably have about 5 things you're supposed to be praying for them about after you heard their whole story. And you can say, you know, I'm going to think about that. I'll be praying about that. And I really enjoyed our conversation. And then keep it moving. They know you got to keep it moving, too. But that's a good problem to have. It's the best problem to have. Okay, I want one more person to come up and spend the majority of the conversation on me. You know, on me. Who I am, what I am, you know, trying to figure that out. Who's going to do it? Someone's being nominated. Okay. Great. All right, I'm going to go hide again. Oh, here he comes.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the neighborhood. My name is Jerry Cunahan. And have you been a member of, and your name is?
My name's Amy.
Have you? I used to be a community leader, an ANC commissioner. Mm-hmm. So have you been a member of the neighborhood for a while?
You know, I arrived in 2002, so I've been here, you know, around, what is that, around 8 years now? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been here since 91, and my neighbors still haven't gotten used to my Boston accent. So where are you from?
I grew up in Minnesota. So you can probably hear my Minnesota accent especially when I say that word. Yeah.
You betcha.
Absolutely. Yep, you betcha.
You betcha. So I'm so glad you're in the neighborhood. By the way, I'm from Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian, and we have a lot of activities. We're a church down the street, and I'd like to give you a flyer. And so if you ever have the opportunity, our door is always open, and feel free to visit. But I'm so glad to finally have somebody from Minnesota in our neighborhood, because I went to school with a lot of, you know, great people from Prior Lake and Minneapolis and Coon Rapids, and and it's just,
I
went, you know,
yeah, I spent a lot of time in Minneapolis,
and it won't feel so bad if you like baseball. I won't be the odd man out, being that we have a Twins fan in the neighborhood.
I don't follow baseball, but I do remember going to the Twins when to the parade when they went when they won the World Series. So.
All right, well, let me thank you, and you'll be in my prayers, and you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Here, do you want to take them? Good. So you spent some time on me, you know, and I was impressed. You don't have to go study your geography books to get, you know, the 500 towns and everyone who, you know, that was very impressive that he knew lots of places in Minnesota and was engaging me. Monsignor, do you want to knock on my door to close it out? I didn't tell him I was going to do it.
Yep.
There's a packet and a bag with information. The important disclaimer about the bag with information is it should not be your shield from having to have a conversation with someone, right? I mean, lots of times that material should be sort of an afterthought, or, you know, it should be part of it. But lots of times people hide behind the material. You know, they get nervous and then they're like, here's the material, you know, and then go before the conversation. Challenge yourself to linger as long as you can on the person. So if I'm nervous about church and I see Monsignor walk up in his collar, I'm really going to hide, right? Imagine, you know? Okay, so I'm going to really hide now.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
I'm Father Pope. I'm a pastor over at Holy Comforter.
Uh-huh.
And we're just out today meeting folks in the neighborhood. Love to get to know our neighbors
and get
connected. And so just have you been here long in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I've been here, you know, for about 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah.
Good. So you are you connected in the neighborhood? You members of any organizations or what do you?
You know, I'm an organizer, so I spend a lot of time out in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, I might want to recruit your congregation
to
be a part of my organization someday.
Amen. Love to do that because we're very active in the neighborhood too. We're getting more active. You know, we just really are aware. You know, there's all kinds of issues. And so, are there some issues in the neighborhood that you're interested in?
You know, it really bothers me. You know, that there's so many people, seems like a lot of young people just kind of hanging around and don't have anything to do. You know, and that just makes me sad because I remember growing up, I had, you know, there were places that I went, you know, there were lots of activities at school and, you know, ways that I engaged. And it just makes me sad to see, you know, not seeming like they have much to do.
You know, as a parish, we're getting really active about that too. You know, we're working with the Interfaith Network and...
good.
And, but we're very involved in right now in a jobs effort because we see the same thing. So much work needs to be done all throughout the city, and yet so many people are unemployed, and we just really have a heart, you know, for the same issue.
What are you guys trying to do about it?
Well, we're working with right now with the weatherization, some money available. We're linking some money and jobs, and we're actually working with a union to train workers and get them out there and actually do the work. So we've got about 50 jobs already, and 200 to come. And then we're going to work with the water company and do the same thing. Lots of work that needs to be done. We're very involved with the city and keeping the mayor's feet to the fire on it.
Yeah, they need it.
Yeah.
They need it.
So do you have a church home?
No, I'm not a member of a church. It's kind of funny. I work with lots of churches. I'm not a member anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. As I say, we're just the main thing we want to do is just tell you we love you. We're in the neighborhood, and we're part of this neighborhood, and invite you. We have a lot of things. I'll just give you this little package. You can look at that later. But it's got a lot of things in there. There's activities planned. We've got some concerts planned. You can come. Not everything we do is just related to worship. Like I said, we've got interfaith network meetings. Mm-hmm. We've got the concerts, and we've even got a blessing of the animals. I don't know if you have any animals in the house, but come get your animal blessed.
No, I think this one needs to be blessed next door.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, God bless you. Listen, we're out praying for everybody in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
We love you, and we're praying for you. And just if there's anything in particular we can pray for, and there's information to contact us and find out more. But God bless you. I was really glad to meet you today.
Great. It's good to meet you.
Okay.
Thank you. Good. What was it that he asked that opened me up? Yeah. What organizations, what am I a part of, right? You know, and then, you know, what do you think around the neighborhood? I mean, what was my concern? He knew that would get me, right, because he knows I'm an organizer. But, you know, he hung with it and, you know, he shared his concerns about what the parish does. As it related to what I offered. So I think you guys are ready. I don't know what you guys think. Do you feel ready? Huh? Yep.
Just a quick question. If mm-hmm. we ask him, is there something you want us to pray for, and the person tells you that, should we prepare to, like, write that down along with your name?
I mean, you should follow up on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of having a relationship is, you know, you're acting on them. They're going to act on you, too, right? And so if they want you to pray for them, however you take note of that, write it down, however you're going to get that back to the congregation, you have to take that really seriously. So
you should pray for them at that given time.
Yeah. Then pray with them. If they want you to pray with them at that moment, pray with them at that moment. Right? Or if they want you to take it back, you know, this is where you kind of got to go with your gut on things, right? But if they want to pray right then, then ask them to pray right then. But go with your gut. Ask them if they want to do it right now. If they're not comfortable, then bring it back, right? So the key is just being real present. And the agenda is that person. And, you know, if you guys keep this up, people are going to come to the congregation. Especially, there's a certain turning point at congregations where this becomes a habit, reaching out, engaging, relating, not selling the congregation, but trying to figure out who's around me, what do they care about, and then trying to meet that. Yeah. Any other final thoughts, Father? Any final thoughts or... Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah, absolutely. So I think you guys are ready. As long as you remember, it doesn't have to be the thing that you're used to ducking from, you know? But that's not what this is. And if you guys go out, if 50 people go out, you're going to talk to 500 people. If 80 people go out, you're going to talk to 800 people. You know, if 50 people go out three times, you're going to talk to, you know, over 1,000. So congratulations that you're doing it, right? And now it's just you got to just step out and do it, right? Thank you, guys. Thank you.